Joellen Darcy is Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, and they are celebrating the five-year anniversary of the Army Corps of Engineers Veterans Curation Program coming in a couple of days. Joellen, thank you for joining me today. Tell me about the Veterans Curation Program, how it works, and why you started it. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you. Thank you, Francis, and thank you for the opportunity to let folks know what this program's all about. Back in 2009, in October, we were able to get some additional financing through President Obama's American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and we got some money to start this Veterans Curation Program. What it does is provide a unique training opportunity for future employment for our returning veterans. As you probably know, and hopefully all your listeners know, that there's no group of people who's done more to forge our national identity through our history than our veterans. And they've served and they've sacrificed for our nation, and we owe them a lot of strong support, especially when they return, and to help them with future job opportunities. What this program does, it takes, well, the Army Corps of Engineers, many of your listeners may not know exactly what we do, but we're a water resources agency that provides flood protection and storm damage reduction and navigation projects and around the country. And when we build these projects, oftentimes we find artifacts that have historical significance not only for the Army but for the nation. And it's our responsibility to archive them and restore them and curate them for future generations. Well, this takes a skill that not everybody has. So what we've done is take our need for this skill and match it with our veterans. And we provide them with training in a number of different areas so that they not only will be able to do this for us, but bring this skill to a future employment. We've got three of these veterans curation centers around the country. We've got one in Arlington, Virginia that we're going to celebrate this week, and then we have one in Augusta, Georgia, as well as another in St. Louis, Missouri. Our veterans come into this program. They learn skills such as data entry. They digitize records. They learn word processing. They learn digital photography, among many other skills. And they are trained in these skills for their own benefit as well as for the benefit of our archaeological responsibilities in the Corps of Engineers. And after about 6 months in the program, they graduate. And I'm kind of a little bit proud of this program because we've got a great rate of success. We've had over 89% of our veterans. We've had 203 veterans trained so far. About 89% of them have gone on to find permanent employment, or some of them have returned to university and colleges to continue their education. So we're pretty proud of that, and I think that not only have the veterans been benefited from this program, but the Corps of Engineers has as well.
All right, congratulate you on that, Joellen. And my first instinct was, well, there, with all due respect to archaeologists, there probably is not a thriving job market in archaeology right now. So what kinds of jobs are these folks graduating to? Where are they taking these skills and applying them in other areas?
Well, they're taking many of them. Some of them who have decided to return to university are actually going to be studying archaeology, but many of them have been hired by federal agencies, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Veterans Affairs, the U.S. Postal Service, and then many have been hired in the private sector, places like Target and Home Depot and Boeing and some Chase Bank as well as Wells Fargo Bank, because the skills they're learning can do many things. You know, there's data entry and a lot of the digitization that is required in all of these efforts is something that they're learning right here on the job.
My notes say that you have about 20 veterans on average per location at a time. Mm-hmm. Is this a program that you see scaling in a couple of different ways, either in more vets being able to go through it or maybe being able to apply it to other areas besides this type of curation to provide vets more opportunities to learn these, to gain these skills?
Well, I think both opportunities are there. Especially if we are able to get additional funding in the years ahead, we could expand the program to more locations. As I said, we have three locations now. We could expand it to other locations. I also think we need to look at the opportunity that we have in providing these skills to our veterans, but throughout other things beyond the Corps of Engineers, possibly curation at museums, at other museums other than ones that just deal with our archaeological responsibilities. I see that as a possibility, plus the extension of some of these skills that can go beyond, you know, what they can learn on the job with us for 6 months. So I think there's opportunity for both of those in this program.
Joellen Darcy is the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works. Why those three labs? Why those locations when you have so many other locations around the country? Is there something about those three locations that made this program easy to facilitate?
Well, a couple of reasons for the location. One was we first opened in Augusta, Georgia, and that was in October of 2009. And one of the reasons was it was the location was near an Army base that had a lot of returning veterans. So that was one of the reasons there. One of the reasons for St. Louis is we, the Army Corps of Engineers, have our archaeological center of expertise in St. Louis. So that was another reason for that. Another one for here in Washington was on the East Coast, we've got a whole lot of need for this kind of archaeological programming because we have so many older sites on the East Coast. You know, we're dealing with some Civil War archaeological finds here in this coast. So that's one of the, you know, each of them. I think in the future, if we want to expand it, I think we should look, you know, to the West Coast as well as other sort of centers where there is a need with returning veterans.
Joellen, you kind of hinted at where I wanted to go next, and that is to ask you to humor the history geek in me and tell me the kinds of sites that these folks are working on right now and the kind of stuff they're finding.
Well, they're finding a lot of... I went over to visit the site over in Arlington to see what they'd been working on, and they had just gotten a box of materials from an old battle site that we, the Corps of Engineers, had excavated in order to do a flood control project. There was an old historical house that was being that was on property that we were going to be again doing a project on, but we needed to make sure that we got all of the artifacts out of that house before there was any movement of it. So a lot of it is there's everything from bones to China to old arrowheads to any number of things that we've been able to that we've unearthed and been able to digitize, and the digitization process has helped us enormously. And it's also going to help us in the future on how we are actually going to store our artifacts for the future, because we're able to, if you digitize them, then you're able to store them in a way that we hadn't been able to do before. We're also looking to expand some of our sites in order to do the housing for all of these relics. We currently have several different museums and universities around the country where we're storing them. So we're also looking at trying to get a more unified and coordinated approach to how, what's the best way for us to do that. But that's not part of the training program. That's part of my trying to figure out how we're going to store all of this for the future.
I congratulate you on this program, and we have more details about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You are also reviewing the release of the Climate Change Adaptation Plan and Annual Strategic Sustainability Plan within the last several weeks. The word sustainability gets thrown around in Washington like crazy. What does sustainability mean in the context of these reports that are just out, Joellen?
Well, I'm the senior sustainability officer for the Corps of Engineers, and what I do is I report our energy and our water sustainability results to the administration, to the Office of Management and Budget, as well as the White House Council on Environmental Quality. And what sustainability means, you're right, it's, the term is thrown around all the time, and people are kind of like, yeah, I've heard it, but what does it really mean? What it means is how we can continue to do what we do in the future by looking at ways we can reduce our current energy consumption as well as our greenhouse gas emissions. What we've done within the Corps is set some goals for ourselves as to how we can get there. And what we've done, we've got a couple of goals. One is to increase our renewable electricity consumption by about 20% by 2020. We're also looking to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 23% by 2020, as well as reduce our non-tactical vehicle petroleum consumption by 20% by 2015. That's next year. So these are they're aggressive targets to help greenhouse gas emissions from pretty much our daily use in the Corps of Engineers. And hopefully we've had a number of successes. I think we've got a we're we're getting toward our goal. We have a report card out every year that we grade ourselves on how we're doing. And we've also, within the Corps of Engineers, we've had a program for a long time looking to the future, especially as it relates to climate change and climate change adaptation. As a water resources agency who's looking to the future for the kinds of projects I talked about earlier, we need to be able to look at climate change and sea level rise in our planning process for the future. And we've already been doing that within the Corps. We've looked at that especially, and we've also developed a number of tools for other people to use as far as making their plans for accommodating for sea level rise. As a result of Superstorm Sandy, we, along with the FEMA and NOAA, have developed a tool to help local communities project what they might see as sea level rise as far as how they might want to plan for future development and future projects on their coastline. So we're looking at a number of things, and as far as how we can adapt to the changing climate that I think all of us admit is in our future.